Protégé Podcast, the career advice, inspiration, and truth you need for your career journey.
Hi, my name is Jordan. You should listen to my dad's podcast. Bye.
I'm Rory Verrett. Welcome to Protégé Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today we are talking about health and wellness in the workplace. So many of us are dealing with stress, stress that comes from the news headlines, stress that comes from our home life, perhaps, and stress that comes from the workplace. Just in the workplace alone, you may have big proposals, huge presentations, a promotion on the horizon, or God forbid, you have a toxic boss, toxic coworkers, or an overall toxic workplace culture. It's enough to drive you crazy, and it's unsustainable. We have to get a grip on some of these challenges in the workplace, and today we're going to confront them head on by providing about 10 tips, techniques, practical things you can do in the workplace so that you stay on your A game, you stay healthy and fit and focused, and avoid some of the landmines that exist in the workplace. Everything from the candy bowl to the break room food to the toxic coworker to learning how to manage stress in an effective way. So today we're talking with Brenda Cias, a workplace health consultant at Kaiser Permanente, who has some very practical things. We're not talking about kooky science or abstract notions. We're talking about very practical things you can write down and apply today. And I guarantee you, if you apply all of these 10 concepts at the end of 2017, you're going to be in better shape than you began the year. So up next on Protégé Podcast, how to stay fit, focused, and healthy with Brenda Cias. I am so thrilled to welcome to Protégé Podcast Brenda Cias, who is a workplace health consultant at Kaiser Permanente, and she is here to talk about the connection between your health and your success. Brenda, welcome to Protégé Podcast.
Hi, Rory. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Brenda, tell us what you do in your professional role.
So, in my professional role, I am a workforce health consultant for Kaiser Permanente. What that basically means is that I work with our employers who purchase our health plan to really help their employees be healthier and more successful and more productive at the workplace. And this is done by taking a look at the data that we have from the health plan and really helping them to create an environment and a culture that supports their employees' overall health and well-being.
And this is not only your day job. You are also a branded expert in this space. Everyone can go to BrendaCias.com, S-I-L-L-A-S, BrendaCias.com, where there is a wealth of information about food and fitness and all sorts of insights you can share. We're going to get down to some of them today, but let's start first of all with food, because food is, as you know, a big part of our workplace schedule. I mean, many people are eating two or three meals in the workplace. And so if your workplace is not conducive to healthy, organic eating, you're going to be in trouble. So tell us about how food implicates success for us or not in the workplace.
Well, you're absolutely right in that if the workplace isn't conducive to health and has healthy options, it's obviously going to be detrimental to your overall health. Today, I mean, there aren't just a lot of healthy options at the workplace in terms of food. And, you know, if you think about it, just even everybody knows that there's somebody that has the office candy bowl. People look forward to the birthday celebrations because there's a plethora of candy and sweets and cake. And so, I mean, there's studies that show that sugar is 5 times more addictive than cocaine. Mm. And so in the workplace, if you don't have healthy options available, then what are you going to do? You're going to go for what is available. And, you know, Dr. Mark Hyman has a lot of research where he talks about how basically everything that you eat either programs or reprograms your genes to help you get healthy or unhealthy. Basically, every single bite of food that you take, you're sending direct messages to your genes, which control the production of all proteins in your body. Hmm. And basically, all of these things are going to control your metabolism, your appetite, and your health, which overall, I mean, there's that saying that says garbage in, garbage out. This is why it's so important that you feed your body with as much whole, real, and clean foods and fresh foods as possible, because once you start cleansing from the inside, it's going to show on the outside and it's going to help you have more mental clarity and just be more focused, especially at the workplace.
So tell us how we avoid the Snickers jar, the M&M's bowl, and the Skittles container at work. I read a stat that said that basically if you availed yourself of just all the candy that was available in the workplace in the typical work environment, that you are going to put on with nothing else about 5 pounds in a year. And when you add 4 years at a company, that's where those 20 pounds come from. They literally come from eating the candy in the candy bowl a little bit every day, 3 or 4 days a week. Over the course of a year, it adds up. What can we do to avoid sabotaging our health with the free food at work?
Well, first of all, as you're starting your job hunting process, these are some of the things that you want to look for. Is the employer that you're looking to work for support healthy behaviors? What do they have in their vending machines? I mean, that's honestly the first step, because out of sight, out of mind. So a lot of companies right now are becoming very savvy to where they want to support the employees in their overall health and well-being. And that's something that you want to look for. But unfortunately, if you're with an employer right now who hasn't caught up with the rest of the employers in society, you want to just bring your own lunch, pack your own snacks, try to avoid it as much as possible. You need to be the one that drives the change within your close circle, and really empower your coworkers to, hey, let's, you know, I brought some fruit. You know, be the one that brings fruit, that brings almonds, that brings healthy snacks to avoid having to go to the vending machine. And then as you get more empowered, start talking to management, start talking to human resources about, you know, what can we really do to support a culture and a workplace environment that's going to support healthy behaviors. Mm-hmm. Because you're absolutely right, Rory. Not only is digging into the office candy bowl or having that Snickers bar every single day over the course of 4 years or even a year, it's not only going to have you to gain weight, but all of that sugar is poison to our brain. Therefore, it's going to affect your productivity. It's going to affect your workplace performance. And overall, what sugar does to our body is it makes it more acidic. Mm-hmm. What that means is that when our bodies are more acidic, disease thrives in acidic environments.
So it sounds like a couple of things can help us. One is bring your own food. Two is complain if your workplace is an obstacle course of sugar. In the workplace, if you're literally dodging the M&M's bowl at the reception desk and then dodging Marge's Snickers, you know, bowl 2 feet away, and then by the time you get to the kitchen, there's cake and muffins and all this kind of stuff. It's literally complaining or suggesting to the folks at work that they create a more healthy environment with healthier options. And then the third thing it sounds like is just raw willpower, like just making sure you resist wherever possible those temptations. One thing I've done on that, because I've tried to do the first two, but the thing I did when I was in the workplace is I would make a healthy option an option on my calendar every day. And I know it sounds crazy. I became a green tea addict. Like I literally have to have a green tea every day. It became the thing that got me out of the office across the street to Starbucks. It's a little expensive. It's $4.50, but it's a healthy option. It gets me out of the office. And I usually missed many of the birthday parties or celebrations where people are gorging themselves on bad food. I would come back, enjoy the celebration, but miss you know, the extra 800 calories from that banana nut bread that everybody's eating. So it sounds like there are some practical, simple, common sense things we can do to keep on track with our own fitness and weight loss goals throughout the year. And what about the issue of stress? We are living in stressful times, and it doesn't matter if it's situations with unarmed folks getting shot by police, or the political environment, or threats to policies impacting women. It's stressful outside of the workplace. It's stressful inside of the workplace. How do we manage the stress that we have while we're in the workplace, regardless of its origination?
Sure. And especially right now with the current state of events, stress is huge. And especially the impact of depression and anxiety rates are just through the roof right now. Mm-hmm. My best recommendation for your listeners is that they take advantage of the employee benefits. A lot of times resources like the employee assistance program are very underutilized. So that would be my first recommendation, is go to your HR department and look to see if you have an employee assistance program, because oftentimes these programs will offer you basically free therapy where you can go in and talk to somebody about anything that is going on in your life, whether it's with your relationships or with the current state of events and how to manage that, because these are all feelings and emotions that are normal. And I know that in the past, things like therapy are things that have been stigmatized, mm-hmm. and especially mm-hmm. with people of color, you tell them that you're going to see a therapist and they automatically think that you're crazy. I would highly recommend that if you are feeling stress or anxiety in your life, you know, go take advantage of the employee assistance program. But then the next thing that you can do is really just get up and go for walks. We are in an environment and a culture where we just sit way too much. Mm-hmm. And not only is getting up and exercising and just moving more going to help you to eliminate some of that stress, but, you know, studies show that it improves, you know, overall brain size, and it helps you have more mental clarity and deal with things like stress. Movement makes the brain bigger, stronger, and faster. Movement protects the brain from the harmful effects of stress and vigorous movement, and it provides a good stress that can make you more resilient. Mm-hmm.
So the phrase that we hear, that when you're stressed in the workplace, you should literally take a walk around the block. You literally mean take a walk around the block.
Yes, absolutely.
And the other issue about stigma, because I know this is a big issue, and there is something, I think, in the culture of people of color where there is this toughness you're supposed to evidence that nothing gets to you. And you couple that with the reality of corporate America and how, you know, we're supposed to be twice or three times as good as our counterparts. How do you get through the stigma? I mean, I would be resistant to calling my company's employee assistance line if I'm complaining about the company itself. How do you get around that?
First, just knowing that by you calling the employees, the company's employee assistance program, mm-hmm. it's completely confidential. And having worked on the broker side and on the carrier side, I know that the information about who is actually calling never gets back to the employer. So it's completely confidential. And trust me, these are professionals. They've heard that all the time. As a matter of fact, that's probably the number one complaint that that the employee assistance program therapists get, is that the employees are just not happy at the workplace. And so that's the first step in getting around to it, is just knowing that it's not anything new and that your information is completely confidential. Okay. And know that these are trained professionals and they're going to give you some really simple tactics for you to get over this hump and become more resilient and identify simple next steps that you can take to help you get over that stress and anxiety that you might be feeling at the workplace.
So what you're saying is, when I call the number to complain about my boss is not then going to the workplace healthcare provider and saying, hey, let me get a read on how my employees are doing so I can improve their situation or some other, you know, crazy auspices to try to get this information, and then using that, maybe not against me personally, but against the whole organization. They're not sampling that data and using it and using their privilege as the owner or the CEO of the company or the head of HR to use that to in any way punish or disadvantage the employees.
Absolutely not. These programs, they cannot release any type of information that specifies what they're calling about or what kind of advice they're giving. The only aggregate data that they'll provide to the employer is just utilization. Mm. Obviously, because if the employer is paying for it, then they want to know that it's being utilized. But that's to the extent of data that they will provide the employer. And again, it's aggregate data. So it's not even going to break it down by location. It's just going to be aggregate data as a whole so that they can know that the program is or is not being utilized.
I see. So unless you work in an organization where it's the owner and you, and the owner calls and
right. gets
100% of your employees have complained and are having a high stress anxiety attack about working there, you should probably feel comfortable about utilizing your employee assistance program. So Brenda, tell us, what are some of the signs we should watch for ourselves to understand that it's time to call someone?
I want to just start off by sharing that it's nothing new that employees are not happy at their workplace. As a matter of fact, you know, Gallup scientists did a study with over more than 150 countries where they studied the well-being of employees, and only 12% of employees strongly agreed that they have substantially higher overall well-being because of their employer.
Wow.
And the vast majority clearly think that their job is a detriment to 12%. Their overall well-being. Whew. So having this data, right, of scientists that sampled over 150 countries, just know that you're not alone. So when I tell you that it's nothing new, it's really nothing new. Employers know this. They don't want to believe it, but the data is out there that says this is true. So the first step in for you to know that you need help is just to really recognize your feelings and your thoughts at that moment and know that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask yourself, do you want to get better? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to continue down this path where you're feeling awful and you feel nervous about going into the workplace?
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, you know, going back to just well-being, and these Gallup scientists did studies about the five dimensions of well-being that make us happy. Career well-being is the most important one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, and career well-being is basically how you occupy your time each day and liking what you do each day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that goes into, you know, do you like what you do? And if you do, that's great. But if there's something in the workplace environment that is causing you stress or anxiety, then maybe it is worth it to get help so you can get over it and be able to continue to be successful at your current workplace, or like you give tons of advice of figuring out when it's time to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Brenda, we're not letting you off the show until you help us really, really get healthy in 2017. I know you are a fitness buff. I know you're extremely health conscious in addition to your professional role at Kaiser Permanente. So tell us, give us some hacks, give us some health and fitness workplace tips so we can be our best healthy selves this year.
The first thing I have to tell you is always try to pack your lunch and your snacks for the next day. Being prepared is going to help you avoid reaching out for the snacks and all the sugary stuff that's in the workplace. The second thing is to always drink water. Mm. Drink water the minute you wake up, and just drink water throughout the entire day. It's going to help you just be more focused, have mental clarity, and not feel dehydrated. And again, help you feel full and not crave those sugary snacks.
Good one.
The third thing that you can do is when you are feeling stressed or when you're feeling like so stuck and you're sitting in front of the computer because you just can't think, just stop, drop, and go. Stop what you're doing, drop the pen, whatever it is, and go for a walk. Literally, go for a walk around the building, go outside. Go talk to your neighbor, just get up and go for a walk. And number four, just stop and take deep breaths. Mm. I know it sounds really simple, but that's really as simple as it gets. And by breathing, you're going to be providing oxygen to your cells, to your brain, and trust me, it works.
That's amazing. I have a couple of, I mean, I'm not a health expert, but I'll just tell you some stuff that's worked for me over the years. And I agree with everything you've said. One is when you take your coffee or tea break or whatever you do between 2 and 4 to kind of get some energy, walk to not the nearest Starbucks or coffee shop, but one that's maybe 6 blocks away. Literally force yourself to take a half mile, 3/4 mile walk to get the coffee. Number two related is park farther away. Don't, if you drive to work, do not, as I did, park very close to your job. It's going to be helpful when it rains, but in most cities, it's not going to rain that much. And so you're going to be parking close and you're going to have a commute from your garage to a garage and you're going to get very little exercise. So get a contract with a parking garage 6 blocks away or stop at the metro station. If you take the subway 6 blocks away, it's going to guarantee that you do a mile of walking a day and that will do wonders. I did this in New York, not by design, but just because I had to and I was in the best shape of my life. The other thing I would say is spend some time standing up while you work. And if even if you can get from your employer a stand-up desk, try to get one. Try to ask for one. Most employers have at least considered this, and someone in the office has asked for this already. Try to get a stand-up desk because literally you're going to get back pain. You're going to get, you know, a more sedentary kind of lifestyle and all the challenges that come from it. If you are going from your car to your chair to back home to your chair to eat and then your sofa, it's literally sitting down all day, which is horrible for you. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, they're saying now that sitting is the new smoking. It's really bad.
Wow.
I was also going to add, Rory, you were talking about going to the furthest Starbucks to get your coffee. While you're at it, if you are a coffee drinker, you know, eliminate the sugar and eliminate the creamer in your coffee and instead try something like cinnamon because cinnamon will naturally sweeten your coffee up and it also has fat burning components that's going to help you lose weight and burn fat. So that's just another little life hack that I'll throw in for you.
Wow. I'm going to try that today. Well, Brenda, this has been so helpful and I'm glad we're doing this episode early in the year so we can implement all of these great tips and incorporate this perspective, this healthy perspective, into our goals for 2017. So thank you so much. You can check out more of Brenda Sillas at BrendaSillas.com. Brenda, S-I-L-L-A-S.com. Brenda, thank you so much for stopping by Protégé Podcast.
Thanks so much, Rory.
All right. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brenda Sillas at Kaiser Permanente. Now it's time for the breakdown. All right, on the breakdown, we're going to provide 4 additional techniques, 4 additional ideas you can consider that can help you create a healthy and fit and focused approach to the workplace. 2 of them are kind of about your mental awareness, and 2 of them are kind of simple physical ideas you can use to stay fit and healthy. Number 1, distinguish between friends and colleagues in the workplace. This is where the 80-20 rule can be helpful. I'm guaranteeing you that in most workplaces, only 20%, no more than 20% of the people in the workplace do you consider your legitimate friends. 80% of them are colleagues. If you hang out with them outside of work, if they're privy to confidential details of your life, I think it's safe to call them a friend. But for most of us, 80% of the people at work are colleagues. Why does this matter? It matters because you set different expectations for friends than you do for colleagues. There is less emotional investment with a colleague. Therefore, there is less of a sense of getting betrayed or disappointed or let down by a colleague, because you have appropriate expectations of who's who in the workplace. So don't get it twisted and think everybody in the workplace is your friend. I know that sounds really bad and harsh and whatnot, and I am as affable and extroverted as the next person, but you have to set limits on how you see people in the workplace, because it's simply not set up for you to have 100,000 friends or 100 friends. There's a good chance you have a limited number of people that maybe you hang out with outside of work. Maybe you confide in details of things that are happening in your family life or with your kids or with your friends or whatever. Set the appropriate expectations and you won't be disappointed. And the person or persons that you think are friends that are really colleagues won't stress you out. Number two, when you have moments that stress you out, when a colleague gets on your last nerve, when you feel like someone has spoken to you in a, you know, vulgar or disrespectful way, please, your first approach should be to talk about this outside of the workplace. Find somebody you can talk to outside of the workplace. We talked about this on an earlier episode. You don't want to begin airing your dirty laundry inside the workplace. It gets misconstrued. It's like the game of telephone that kids play. By the time someone else down the hall in supply chain hears it, it's a completely different story. So try to keep your stressful situations, those personal moments where you're having not quite a fight, but a difficult challenge in dealing with somebody, get some insight outside of the workplace so your confidentiality can remain intact outside of the workplace. Number three, put walks and workouts on your calendar. This is a simple rule that is very similar to saving. If you don't pay yourself first, it's very difficult to save. If you don't pay yourself first by putting exercise on your calendar and making it sacred, don't make it the thing that you move for the 3 p.m. conference call. Don't make the walk the thing you immediately delete. Make it something that's sacred on your calendar, because you're going to be more productive. You're going to be the star performer that you're capable of if you are healthy and energetic and productive. And by staying fit and getting some adrenaline, getting out of the death trap of the bad ergonomics of your desk, where you're sitting down, which is bad for you, looking into a screen, which is bad for you, and you're doing that for 9 or 10 hours a day, you have to break that up. So you have to get your boss to understand that that's something you're going to do. You're going to take a half hour walk a day, or you're going to work out 4 times a week. Most people in your place of employment are going to understand that. And if they don't think it's important enough for you to maintain that healthy balance, well, then you've got some harder things to think about. Now, let's not go crazy. I'm not encouraging you to blow off a board meeting because you want to do Pilates. I'm simply saying organize your schedule with a fixed set of moments every week where you are dedicating it to exercise. That's all. And the last tip I want to share, and don't sleep on this, is sleep. Sleep. So many of us are chronically underslept. We've forgotten what it feels like to have a good night's sleep. If you wake up feeling refreshed and energetic and ready to take on the day, that's not a myth. There are people that feel that way who don't need coffee in the morning, who don't need caffeine in the morning, who simply wake up ready to attack the day because they've gotten a full night's sleep. That's something we all need to aspire to do and put that as a goal for this year. Arianna Huffington has a wonderful book called The Sleep Revolution about how getting a good night's sleep changed her life. It is that important. It's a bedrock principle of your overall health, not only physically, but mentally. You're going to be sharper, more creative. You're going to be more collaborative. You're just going to be an overall happier person if you get a good night's sleep. That means you got to turn off the TV an hour before you go to bed. You've got to turn off your phone and not bring the phone to bed. I know I'm bad at this myself. You want to get that last little view on social media or check in because you've been away all day. You have to create a buffer between when you go to bed and the last time you're looking at a screen. It should be at least an hour, preferably 2 hours, to give your brain a chance to slow down and not process all that information and then expect it to go to sleep. It's very, very difficult to do that. So prepare yourself to go to sleep. Western society these days is so convoluted, it's so rushed, it's so hectic. Most of us just fall asleep. I'm guilty of this myself. I don't go to bed, I fall asleep, and then I drag myself to bed. That is unsustainable. It's not going to work in the long term. So please, please get yourself some sleep so you can be healthy and fit and focused to attack the day every day. Thank you for tuning in to Protégé Podcast. Please check us out on social media at Protégé Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and let us know your thoughts on topics we can cover on the next Protégé Podcast.